Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Black Box Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjeev Varma, Whole-time Director and CEO. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Hello and good morning, everyone. First and foremost, I hope all are keeping safe and healthy. On the call, I'm joined by Deepak Bansal, Executive Director and Global CFO, and SGA, our investor relations advisors. We have uploaded our result presentation on the exchanges, and I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. We're happy to meet again. I'll start with a very brief overview of our company, followed by business and financial performance for Q2 and H1 FY23. Black Box, initially a dominant Indian player, is now a leading global digital ICT solution provider with major presence across 35 countries in North America, Europe, Middle East, and APAC markets, having expertise in consulting, designing, deploying, managing, and securing customer IT and communications infrastructure. This expertise helps to design and deliver relevant technology solutions and services to business for driving their business imperatives. Our businesses are divided into two major segments. One, Global Solutions Integration, GSI business, contributing 80% of the consolidated revenues. And two, Technology Product Solutions business, which contributes to the balance 20%. Our growth strategy in the GSI business is focused on providing solutions in areas of connected and smart campuses, including IoT, digital workplace, customer experience, data center and edge networks, wireless and mobility, including 5G, LTE, and cybersecurity. In the Technology Product Solutions business, we sell our Black Box-owned IP products and Black Box-branded white-label digital technology infrastructure products and provide warranty and technical support for these products to enhance customer experience. As you are aware that we acquired Black Box in U.S. in 2019, and this acquisition has helped us to better serve a global customer base, expand our capabilities, enhance our solution portfolio. Our marquee customer base spans across industry verticals, primarily in the financial services, healthcare, technology, retail, travel and hospitality, consumer goods and broadcasting. Our top 10 customers approximately contribute 40% of our revenues. Geographically, North America contributes 74%, Europe 10%, India 7%, APAC 5%, and balance 4% by other regions. For business, our strategy revolves around being global. Think global, act local, and we believe in keeping our relationships local and at the same time be relevant with providing the flexibility to our customers to cost effectively deliver in 35 countries, including from our center of excellence in India. Today, we serve 250 plus Fortune 500 companies, 8,000 plus global customers, 5,000 plus active client locations serviced on site, 30 plus global technology partnerships, and 4,000 global team members. The company is driving two-pronged strategy for growth, organic and inorganic, where organically the company continues to make investments in high-growth areas such as data center, cloud offerings, and cybersecurity, with increased focus on cross-selling. Inorganically, the company continues to look at inorganic opportunities on a regular basis in line with our acquisition strategy. During the first half of the financial year that went by, we have witnessed a strong growth in our revenue despite the challenging economic environment. We have a very healthy order book and this continues to grow at a steady pace. The growth in order book is visible from some of the marquee orders that we won during the quarter, have been highlighted in the presentation. We won deals with upward values of $30 million during the quarter. However, delays in availability of material posed certain execution risks during the quarter gone by, has resulted in cost escalations for some of the projects. These project delays, along with inflationary challenges, has impacted our operating margins negatively. Further, we have stated that on a medium-term basis, the company aims to increase market penetration in existing geographies and add new clients. By FY24, the company expects the revenues to cross the 7,000 crore mark and achieve EBITDA margins in the range of 9-10%. To achieve the profitable targets, we are moving towards being a ratio-centric organization at an accelerated pace. Therefore, we have let go some of our employees outside India and have moved this base for those operations to our operating centers within India. Owing to the exercise, we incurred an exceptional loss as severance costs paid to those employees. We expect this exercise to have a favorable impact on profitability from end of Q4 FY23 onwards. Overall, despite the challenging global environment, we are seeing healthy flow of deals at our end and remain cautiously optimistic of delivering stronger performance in coming quarters. That's it from my side. I now hand over the call to Deepak to run through the financial highlights during the quarter.
Yes. Thank you, Sanjeev, for a detailed overview. Good morning, everybody. I will now run you through our financial performance for Q2 and H1 FY23. We achieved revenues of rupees 1562 crores in quarter 2 FY23, a growth of 16% on YOY basis and 14% on QOQ basis. Similarly, for H1 FY23, our revenues grew by 15% YOY to rupees 2,934 crores. Basis our strong order book, we have a large backlog of orders which we continue to execute, and therefore the growth in revenues. We continue to see momentum in our order book and robust project backlogs. We achieved gross profit margin of 23.4% in quarter 2 of FY23 and 25.4% in H1 of FY23. The compression in gross profit margin is caused by inflationary pressures, non-availability of components, and higher supply chain costs. As mentioned by Sanjeev earlier, we have rationalized costs and have incurred severance costs to make our offshore-onshore ratio more effective. We continue to focus on various gross margin improvement initiatives and are hopeful to achieve desired outcome by end of quarter 4 FY23. EBITDA stood at rupees 50 crores in quarter 2 FY23 and at rupees 103 crores for H1 FY23. EBITDA margin stood at 3.2% in quarter 2 FY23 and 3.5% for H1 FY23. EBITDA was primarily impacted due to compression in gross margin. We had a PAT loss of rupees 23 crores in quarter 2 FY23 and a loss of rupees 7 crores in H1 FY23. PAT was impacted due to lower EBITDA and exceptional cost owing to the severance cost incurred to make our onshore-offshore ratio more effective. Further, during the quarter, we have taken a decision to strengthen the balance sheet by incorporating a scheme for reduction of share capital. Board of directors considered and approved the scheme of reduction to set off accumulated losses with capital reserve and securities premium in the standalone books of the company. The scheme is subject to approval of shareholders, Honorable National Company Law Tribunal, NCLT, Mumbai, and all other regulatory approvals. With this scheme, company proposes to write off accumulated losses of rupees 107.95 crores reflecting in audited standalone financial statements as at 31st March 2022, with balance appearing in capital reserve account and securities premium account, with the scheme coming into effect, balance in capital reserve account will be reduced from rupees 22.64 crores to nil, and balance in securities premium account be reduced from 223.11 crores to rupees 137.8 crores. This restructuring would enable the company to have a rational structure which is commensurate with its remaining business, and assets and the books of the company would better represent its financial position. Further, the scheme does not result in any benefits to promoter group companies to exclusion of other shareholders. Over the years, BlackBox has built a solid foundation of excellent customer connections. We will continue to strengthen these relationships and build strong partnerships. We remain optimistic to drive profitable future growth. That's all from my side. I now leave the floor open for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Isha Savla from Arya Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for the detailed commentary in the opening remarks. I first of all want to understand about the demand environment. So we keep hearing a lot of news about layoffs globally by likes of Amazon, Facebook, and many others, and these are very large numbers that we are hearing. So have we witnessed any demand slowdown? And further, do we expect any these layoffs to cool down the wages inflation to an extent over the next few quarters?
Isha, hello. Hi, this is. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Please.
Yeah, Isha, hi. So thanks for the question. So yeah, from your first part of the question with respect to the demand, so we have not yet witnessed a compression in demand in our sector of the business. BlackBox largely is in the ICT infrastructure business, which is largely non-discretionary. That's one. We focus on building the network, rollout of new networks of 5G and private LTE data centers, and we expect that the demand for these will continue to be strong. We, of course, have a very, very strong, healthy order backlog that we're executing. So we are not yet seeing a compression. Although some of the layoffs that you've talked about is true with respect to containment of costs on the employee side, but some of these customers that are calling for layoff are in the business of building infrastructure, data center, large cloud networks. So we are not seeing that, at least in our business at this time. We, in fact, have a very, very strong, healthy pipeline. On the second part of the question with respect to inflationary cost pressure, yes, we do expect the heated market for labor to slightly ease off with respect over the next few quarters. We're starting to see that trend. We have had a lot of inflationary cost pressures on labor over the last few quarters. We expect that going forward over the next few quarters, the inflationary pressure with respect to labor market ease down, which will help us to attract talent at a reasonable cost. So we are, of course, taking all other measures, as you heard before in the opening statement for myself and Deepak, with respect to rebalancing our onshore and offshore. So combined with the kind of a cooling off a little bit of inflationary pressure in the labor market and our continued effort to rebalance our ratio with respect to onshore and offshore, and at the back of healthy pipeline that we have, we expect that we should be, you know, we're optimistic about our future going forward.
Thank you so much. This is very helpful. All the best for the next quarter. I'll come back in the queue if I have more questions.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Anjana Shah from Shah Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, sir. Just wanted to know, is the infusion of capital by the promoters in the company by way of warrants? Could you elaborate more on this? And my second question was regarding Think Global, Act Local. So, sir, as you mentioned in your opening remarks, could you just elaborate a little bit more on this idea and what is the strategy that we have while delivering solutions to our client?
Okay, I'll have the first part of the question answered by Deepak, and I'll take the second part. Deepak?
Yeah, sure. So the promoters have decided to subscribe the warrants, and the total warrant issue of around 225 crores, and they decided to put it the warrant sometime in the month of July or August 2021. So the whole 225 crores have already received by the company. The last tranche of 37 crores was received in May 2022, which is quarter one of the current financial year. So now after those warrants got converted and the whole money received, the promoter shareholding stands at 71.14% as at September 30, 2022. And this whole warrant money is primarily utilized for reduction in the liabilities, debt, and for the growth requirements of the company.
Sure.
Thank you, Deepak. On your question pertaining to our thesis of global, think globally and act locally, I think it's largely focused around serving our customers in the market that they operate and being local in the markets that our customers operate. For example, today most of our customers have footprint across the globe, right? And in the business that we are in ICT supporting the infrastructure, it is important for us to remain local in nature when they build out the data center or a new network. We are focusing on those customers who are global in nature. We serve Fortune customers. And each of the markets we operate, we do bring in an element of localization where the relationship exists, but have the ability to serve through our global talent, global skill pool. And that's what we call a global strategy. It's not truly a offshore company. That's how the IT service company came in. We are an infrastructure digital highway creator, and it's important for us to remain local where the infrastructures are built. And at the same time, our ability to serve our global clients where their business takes them is important. So therefore, we call ourselves a global company, think globally and act locally. We are local where the customers are, but our process, our efficiency, our talents are global in nature. We can rope in talents as and when we require, including our center of excellence. And therefore, we want to remain more relevant to our customers in each market we operate by thinking globally and acting locally where the relationship exists. So that's the thesis or the background for being a global company.
Sure, sir. That is really helpful. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Aditi Sawant from ADM Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thanks so much for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. First is, in our investor presentation, we have mentioned that we have won deals worth more than USD 30 million plus. So can you elaborate more on what kind of these projects are and what are the timelines to complete the same? Second is, in our opening commentary, we have mentioned about severance cost. So what is this pertaining to and how much overall cost should, one should expect? And what kind of margin improvement we should expect? Yeah.
Okay. So I think your first part of the question with respect to $30 million deal, it's a data center build out for a global cloud provider, a social media company. And I think the deal size for a site is upward of $20-30 million, even going more. So that's the project size. The project completion timeline to complete a project of that nature is between 18 to 24 months. So that's, and we have many such projects in pipeline. We're also bidding for some large projects. And our order book or ticket size for projects as we move forward is increasing. So we are bullish on our business as far as the data center build-out is concerned. So that specifically answers your first question. With respect to your second question, the severance cost is for people attrited involuntarily for reduction in workforce, and it follows a policy based on our HR policy with respect to providing severance costs. It's based on tenure of employees. It's based on various markets we operate, so there's no one-size-fits-all. The policy in Europe, with the policy in India, or in the U.S. is very different, and that's the cost that we have taken exceptionally in terms of reducing our workforce going forward. So that's a one-time cost. We expect that to continue over the next quarter or so, but we expect over the next few quarters it will become accretive for us. The third, with respect to our margin, we expect that rebalancing our people cost in expensive markets, on rebalancing our ratio centricity with an offshore-onshore mix, will allow us to move our margin by 200 to 300 basis points. I hope I have answered all your three questions.
Yes, yes, it was helpful. Just one last question regarding your revenue targets of 7,000 crores by FY24 and operating margins in the range of 9 to 10%. So can you just help us understand how do you target to achieve this growth and how confident are you, especially on the margin profile?
So on the revenue side, we are currently at an exit run rate of close to 6,000 crores. I think my CFO just alluded to the last quarter number, about 1,500 odd crores. Mm-hmm. We expect to continue to grow at 10-15%, and that should be take us to a revenue target of about 7,000 crores exiting FY24. We feel reasonably confident that we should be able to drive that revenue growth at the back of our demand and pipeline that we see going forward. With respect to our margin, as I said, our goal is to improve our gross margin by 200-300 basis points through the activity that we are doing. That's one. We also expect our overall percentage of SG&A as a revenue to kind of shrink at increased growth. So we're expecting 300 to 400 basis points of growth in terms of margin over the next 12 to 18 months' time. And that should put us in the region of about 9-10%. So we're reasonably confident about that.
Great, great. So that was helpful. And all the best for upcoming quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Niyati Shah from Atidan Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I have two questions. Can you explain in detail about the acquisition of a formerly NASDAQ-listed company, Blackbox Corporation, and how have you turned the business, which was 3 to 4x size of a company?
Deepak, you want to take that?
Yeah, I can take that. So we acquired Blackbox in 2019, which is January of 2019. So it is almost like now we are 3.5 years old in the company. It's a 3.5 year old acquisition. So that acquisition has totally transformed the overall company. So before the acquisition, our revenues were in the range of around 700 to 800 crores. And we acquired the company, which was 5 times of our size, and now growing at almost like 14-15% every year. Last year, we have grown the revenues by 14-15% and all those things. So we acquired the company, which was struggling that time in terms of overall operating environment and all those things. So we have transformed the company by doing various things. So when we acquired, it was at a negative EBITDA and all those stuff. Then we transformed it by streamlining all the overheads in the company, where we have revisited each and every overhead, and that every overhead was streamlined as a percentage to the revenue and also to see that the unnecessary overheads go out of the company. And then we have also worked in terms of improving the productivity in the company by putting a ratio-centric approach where the ratio-centricity will become a prime in terms of all the productivity in the company. In that process, when we acquired the company in January 19, so between February 19 to June 19, we have let go close to around 225 people from the company without impacting any revenues, without impacting any customer experience and all those things. And that time the focus was to maintain the revenues at the same level, don't chase the growth, but chase that to streamline the company profitability. And that's what I think we have been able to do successfully in next four quarters. By December 19, we were operating at around 7% EBITDA margin. This industry is a 10% EBITDA margin industry, and our goal was to achieve 10% EBITDA margin. We reached to around 7.5% EBITDA margin by December of 2019. And then after that, you all know that the COVID struck in the March of 2020 quarter. And after that, this whole let's say the revenue story and the cost story has been turned around differently every quarter with respect to how the COVID has played, and then the supply chain and the manpower and all the inflation and the recession and everything, all those played into the role. And then from there, we are now operating at close to around 3.5 to 4% EBITDA margin. But our goal continues to be like what Sanjeev told just now previously on one of the questions. Our goal continues to be to achieve that EBITDA margin and 7,000 crores of revenues.
Thank you, sir. That was really helpful. I just had one more question. So what is a filtration criteria before we make an acquisition? Like, I'm trying to understand that, are we planning to take any new business vertical or any geography that we are planning to go in?
I'll take that. Yeah, so we have a thought out strategy for inorganic growth. I think we focus on economics and not on the ego and emotions of acquisitions. And it should make economic sense for us. It would either add up a depth in a solutions, open up a new market, or create a set of new customers or talent. So we are open for acquisitions, but we should be able to either make it accretive for us by increase in revenues, improvement in gross margin, adjustment of costs, or bringing in newer areas. So we did make a smaller acquisition in Australia called Dragonfly, which you would have heard, but largely opened up us cybersecurity space. So yes, so we have a laid out thesis. Either it adds up a practice that we believe is accretive to us, either it gives us a market, a new geographical market there, or a scale in that market, or improves some efficiency inside the organization, which we believe we can improve. So if at least a few of these levers are met, we are open to look at inorganic growth.
Thank you, sir. That was really helpful.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Raj Joshi from Ace Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. So thank you for the opportunity. So given the current economic environment, enterprises are making a significant investment in technology infrastructure to stay ahead of the curve. What is the share of a cloud and percentage of black box consolidated revenue and the margin profile for the same? And what are your plans to scale up this piece of business?
So I didn't get your second part of the question. So yes, so I think so I'll answer what I understood. So yes, so we are expecting the investment in IT infrastructure, including newer technology and newer networks, be software-defined, 5G or private LTE, including investments in large-scale data center build-outs that's happening worldwide, including, as you see in India, it's a massive, massive talk about building that. So Blackbox is well-positioned to address that growth of IT technology infrastructure, be it network, be it data center, be it private LTE, 5G or cybersecurity. We expect, I think, that's what I addressed earlier on. We are seeing healthy pipeline growth, and we expect that the volume will be both revenue accretive to us and margin accretive to us, right? I think our revenue today, of course, is exiting at a rate of 6,000 crores. It is at an, you know, growing at about 14%-15%. We expect that growth to continue at least in the foreseeable future.
My other point was, what is the share of cloud as a percentage of Blackbox consolidated revenue and the margin profile for the same?
What is the share of revenues of Blackbox consolidated revenues of the infrastructure business?
Share of-
What is that?
Share of a cloud.
Sanjeev is asking share of cloud business on the overall consolidated revenues.
Yeah. If we consider our business for a data center build-out, our business for digital workplace in the cloud, our business for customer center, customers in the cloud and our services around that, I think we have at least 35%-40% of the business are cloud-led, cloud-driven or cloud-delivered.
The margin profile for the same?
The average margin profile for the same is the range of 25%.
Okay. My other question is, what measures are you taking to navigate on the supply side challenges and the labor shortage? Currently, where are we on this?
Okay. I think I'll answer the second question. With respect to our labor shortages, the labor inflation, some part of it is, of course, I addressed earlier, is cooling down in the U.S. We are seeing more availability of talent at reasonable cost. Having said that, we have recently invested in our center of excellence in Bangalore. We have beefed up from 0 to 500 people. That's also mitigating our need for labor that can work remotely. Between the easing of a little bit of our inflationary pressure in the U.S. and our expansion to Global Excellence Center in Bangalore and Mumbai, we are able to address the labor challenges or our demand for talent, you know, going forward. With respect to supply chain, of course, we can only do so much. It's a global phenomenon. We have taken a position with respect to certain ordering, certain assessment of pipeline or inventorizing in certain aspects of it that of course requires a little working capital to get in. We are planning more effectively, working closely with our suppliers and partners to see that we are able to mitigate the impacts of our supply chain to our business. Largely, it has affected our costs because the costs have gone up. It has not affected our revenues because we are able to procure and deliver and keep our customers happy. We expect the supply chain phenomenon, of course, not to go away in the short term, but over the course of the next few quarters to ease out. We are working closely with our supplier partners and our technology partners to see how we can mitigate it as far as possible.
Sir, lastly, on our TPS business, you mentioned that you are a market leader in few of the product categories. Can you please explain what is that driving force which has helped us to maintain the leadership position? Because I'm trying to understand this is to do with the R&D or the marketing or the technical support which we offer.
Yeah. We have a leadership position in our technology product business specific to our KVM products that are actively used in broadcasting, utilities, air traffic control and so on and so forth. It forms a part of our audiovisual portfolio. As we all know, it's a very, very important aspect of digitizing workplace and collaboration. We have a very high-end product through our R&D in Ireland and in Bangalore. We continue to invest in and expand in that R&D initiative. We are also looking at very innovative markets in the healthcare and hospitality world. We're partnering with companies like Philips to embed our products. To answer your question, to be remaining ahead of the curve, we are looking at bringing in certain portfolios of products ahead of the curve. Having said that, of course, the supply chain has affected us as well with respect to chips and other stuff, so we are a bit slow. We are bullish that we will continue to have that leading position in certain audiovisual products, more specifically our Emerald line of products, which are our own IP, to enhance and expanded R&D in Ireland and Bangalore and continue to be a leader in that space.
Thank you, sir. That is for my.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas from FQ. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, Sanjeev and Deepak. Many thanks for showing us the revenue guidance.
Mr. Vikas, sorry to interrupt. If you can take the phone off speaker, please.
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hi, good morning, Sanjeev and Deepak. And thanks for sharing the revenue guidance and the margin guidance for the coming year, for the financial year 24. My question, though, has already been answered by you because of one of my fellow members who have already asked this. So I rest with my question. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Abhishek Dave from Bright Securities. Please go ahead. Abhishek Dave, your line is in talk mode. Kindly go ahead with your question, please. Abhishek Dave, if you have muted yourself from your handset, kindly unmute yourself and please proceed with your question.
Hello?
Yes, sir. We can hear you now. Please proceed.
Yes, sir. Good morning. So can you elaborate a bit more on margin profile and the different projects that you do? For example, data centers and cybersecurity.
So the margin profile across our businesses are little different. From our cybersecurity, we look at it's largely servicing for our SOC. The margin profile is in the range of 30-35%. The margin profile for our data center businesses lands between 15-20% pure infrastructure. The margin profile for our annuity maintenance contracts in the range of 30-35%.
And sir, you made a acquisition on cyber security space. Could you elaborate on that? How the business is progressing and what kind of revenue margins are we expecting?
So we made a smaller acquisition for cyber security. The margin profile is doing well. It's a smaller company with $4-5 million worth of revenues. The margin profile is in the range of 35-40%. We expect that business to grow rapidly and double up over the next 12-24 months.
Okay, sir. And in terms of geographical expansion, which markets you intend to expand and the scope of expansion if we are thinking to?
So we are not expecting. So we are present in all continents. So we are now looking at going deeper in markets that we have already expanded. So we are looking at working deeper in our ASEAN market of Singapore, Philippines, Malaysia and the region. We're also looking at going deeper in our ANZ market. We're also invested in the leadership and talent in Europe. So we are fairly present in each of the markets. We are now trying to build a respective scale in each of the markets that we have already expanded. We have invested over the last 12-24 months, including during COVID, opening up markets in Europe, in Asia, in ANZ, both organically and inorganically. The goal now is to see how we can go deeper in those markets. So there's no geographical expansion per se. We are looking at going more deeper in the market that we are operating in and build the requisite scale of operations as we move forward.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjeev Verma for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thanks. With this, I would like to thank everyone for joining the call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with me or Strategic Growth Advisors, our investor relations advisors. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Black Box Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.